This morning we will be continuing our study through Romans, and we're coming to the end of Romans chapter 7. We'll be looking today at Romans chapter 7, verse 13 to 25. Romans chapter 7, 13 to 25. I've called this morning's sermon, The Christian's Battle with Sin. The Christian Battle with Sin. Romans chapter 7, 13 to 25. Let us read God's word. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Amen. This is God's word. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, as we come now to study your word, to hear from the scripture, we ask, Lord, that we would hear your voice, that, Lord, you would speak to us, that you would give us understanding of your word. Lord, may you take the word this morning and use it as you will. May it not return unto you void, but may it accomplish all your purposes. Lord, as we look at the battle with sin this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be amongst us, that he would take the word and apply it to our hearts and our lives. May he reveal sin in our lives. And may he point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, search us and know us. Please examine the innermost depths of our heart. And may we be a people who long to put to death sin and glory in our Saviour. Oh Lord, be glorified in this message, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen. It was just after midnight on Tuesday, the 6th of June, 1944, when Operation Overlord began. Bombers left these shores, flew over occupied France, and began to bomb the German positions. About 5 hours later, naval vessels sitting off the coast of Normandy began to fire upon targets that lined the shore. Then at 6:30 a.m. on the 6th of June 1944, Allied troops began to land on the beaches. D-Day had commenced. Now looking back at history, we can look at this battle and we can see that what occurred on that day actually spelt the end of Nazi Germany. As the Allied forces established a beachhead and as more troops and supplies began to flood in, the war was pretty much lost for Germany. Now, at that time, no one knew that. The men on the ground didn't know that. But we can look back through history and see that this battle was the turning point of the war. But the men had to keep fighting. In fact, they would fight on for another 11 months before peace was finally declared in May 1945. The war was lost for Germany in June 44. But the battle raged until May 45. And likewise, as we consider our Christian lives, we see that we are involved in a war that has been won for us, but there is still this battle, there is still this fighting that is going on inside each and every one of us. Now, the war that you and I are involved with, the battle that we are engaged with, is the battle with sin. Now, sin is a foe that is defeated. Sin is a defeated enemy. For us, our D-Day came when we were made righteous through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord set his affection upon us, when the Father gave us to Christ and then granted us repentance and faith, when we were forgiven of all our sins, past sins, present sins, and future sins, when we were forgiven of those sins by Christ having our sin laid upon him, when all that occurred, sin was defeated. You see, on the cross, Christ bore every sin the believer will ever commit. He paid the full penalty of sin. He died in the place of his people and declared the dominion of sin to be over. But our Savior didn't just die. The Bible tells us that 3 days after Christ died, he rose again from the dead. He rose for our justification. Jesus paid the penalty for sin. And then he rose again so that we could be completely forgiven. That event, that act of Christ, that supreme display of love, changed everything for us. Through the work of Jesus, he took care of our enemy, sin. That was our D-Day. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he, that is the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." You see, Christ took all our sin. He paid the full penalty for our sin. If you're a believer, all your sin has been nailed to the cross. All your sin has been dealt with. Past sins, present sins, future sins, all nailed to the cross. And because of Christ, you are now to be totally different. You are no longer counted as being unrighteous, as being a sinner. Rather now, because of Jesus and Jesus alone, you are counted as perfectly righteous. You are viewed as being holy and without sin in the sight of God. You see, when God the Father looks upon you as a Christian, he does not see your sin. He does not see the sin you've committed. No, what he sees is the perfect righteousness of Christ which has been given to you. Eternally, before the throne of God, you are counted as being right with him, as being spotless before him. Not because you've done something, but because you've been washed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our D-Day. Christ set us free. He forgave us of all our sin. He proclaimed liberty to us. Because of the grace of God, the Christian is no longer under the dominion and power of sin. That is why the Apostle Paul said back in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Pause for a moment and think about that wonderful truth. If we're going to effectively engage in battling sin in our life, then it is vital that we understand our eternal position before God. Before we can battle sin, before we can have victory over sin, we must understand how God the Father views us. It is vital that we understand that Jesus Christ has set us free, that the Christian life, the life of one who has repented and trusted in Jesus, is now radically different to what it was like beforehand. I mean, for a moment, think of what your life was like before Jesus. Before Jesus rescued you, before Christ set you free, the Bible says you were a slave to sin. The Bible says you loved sin and you hated God. The Bible says before Jesus you were at war with God. You didn't even seek him. You did not want him, and you certainly did not want his righteousness. You see, we had as much desire for righteousness and the holiness of God as a thief has for a policeman. We wanted nothing to do with him. But then along comes the grace of God. And we are completely transformed. We are declared righteous, and sin is defeated because of Jesus. That is our D-Day. But just like the Germans in 1944 kept fighting for another year, so our sin will keep fighting with us. Even though victory has been given to us by Christ, our enemy keeps on fighting. There is a war that rages inside of us with a defeated foe. The Christian life is a life of warfare. As a believer, you are not called to sit passively by, waiting for the Lord to call you home. It's not a case of, right, I'm saved, I can now just sit down and I don't have to worry about anything. No, the Bible calls us to warfare. The Bible calls us to fight with our sin, to grow in holiness, to pursue Christ. You see, inside of us, even now, there is a war that rages. There is a battle that is underway between our sinful desires and our new righteousness which has been gifted to us. Even the most holy person you know, that is even the most mature Christian you know, that Christian that seems to have it all together, even that Christian battles with sin. Now we may not know what that sin is, and they may choose not to reveal it, but every Christian should be fighting sin. Even the most mature saint of God is at war with sin. You must be at war with sin. Now, if you are not at war with sin, then we have three options to consider. If you say, actually, I'm not at war with sin, then there's three options for you. Either one, you are completely and totally perfect. I don't support gambling, but that's a bet I would take, that you are not perfect. No one is perfect. The Apostle Paul will say in Philippians chapter 3 that even he isn't perfect, but he's striving towards the goal. So if you're not warring with sin, you're perfect. Well, since that's not the case, we'll move on to the second option. If you are not warring with sin right now, it's because you are dead. And I certainly hope that is not the case this morning. I hope at the end of the service, as everyone stands and sings the final hymn and the benediction is announced and we leave, that your corpse is not left sitting on our new seat, on our new carpet. That would be terrible. But if you're not warring with sin, then you're dead. And I'm assuming you're not dead. The third option is this. If you are not warring with sin, then you are not bringing forth fruits that show that you have been made righteous by Jesus. And you need to heed the warning of Scripture to examine yourself, to see if you're even converted, to do as the Apostle Peter would say, to make your calling and your election sure. You see, as Christians, we must be fighting sin. There must be a battle within us. If we have been made righteous by Christ, if we have been granted repentance and faith, then we will make war with sin. We will hate sin and we will long to be rid of it. We will be grieved when we do sin and sin seems to get the upper hand in our life. When we give in to a particular sin that so easily ensnares us, it should grieve us. When a believer sins against God, immediately we should feel convicted by the Holy Spirit. But when that Holy Spirit conviction comes, we should take our sin to Christ and say, Lord, I am very sorry. Please, Help me overcome this evil. And see, we're going to battle sin our entire life if you're a Christian. Now let me just say, if you are a true Christian and you are warring with sin, there will be times that you lose the battle. And I want to stress that for a reason. There will be times in your war with sin that you will give up and you will lose the battle. You shouldn't give up. You should keep fighting. But there's times that we just seem to let sin have its way. And if you do that, let me stress this. This is a vital point for you to understand. If there are times in your life when you give way to sin, if you are a true believer, know this, that sin does not remove the righteousness of Christ from you. That sin does not make Christ give up on you. That sin does not make God the Father say, well, I don't want that person anymore. Now, when the Christian battles with sin, and when the Christian sometimes gives in to sin, know that God has not given up on you. That you have not lost his holiness. You have not lost his righteousness. You have not lost your salvation. Rather, the Holy Spirit will keep working in you to keep you in the battle. And be assured there will be an ongoing battle. A battle that you must fight until God calls you home. You see, when the Apostle Paul pens these words here in Romans chapter 7, we see that Paul, as a mature man, as a mature believer, is wrestling with the battle of sin himself. In fact, between Romans chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul wants us to realize that he is speaking about himself because he references himself in the first person 46 times. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, even he fought with sin. Then surely you're going to fight too. And Paul, in this passage, battles. He engages in warfare. He is not prepared to let sin get the upper hand. So he fights hard in the righteousness that Christ has given him. But before we begin to unpack these verses, let me just mention there is a little bit of controversy and theological debate about this passage. You see, in theology there's always discussions over hard passages, and Romans chapter 7, verse 13 to 25 is listed as one of the hardest passages in Scripture. And the reason there is so much debate over this passage is because there's this big question, is Paul talking about pre-conversion or post-conversion? Because Paul uses language in these verses that unbelievers use of themselves. So people will say, well, in verse 7 to 12, Paul is talking about pre-Christ. So obviously as he goes on in the rest of the chapter, he must be talking about what it was like before Jesus saved him. But I would suggest to you that the other argument, that Paul is actually talking about the battle as a believer, is actually more accurate. You see, Paul doesn't want his readers to think that when you become a Christian, everything's going to be fine, dandy, it's going to be rainbows and sunshine all the time. He doesn't want you to think that. See, Paul doesn't want us to think that if you come to Jesus, then instantly everything in your life is now going to be fixed. Those sins which so easily ensnared you, gone in a moment. He doesn't want you to think that. No, sin will battle hard. And Paul here talks about what his battle was like. And the reason I believe Paul talks about what his battle is like is because he goes on to use language that only a believer can use. For instance, in verse 22, which I think is a key text in understanding this passage, Paul says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." See, Paul is saying, here's all my sin. I battle with sin. I do things I don't want to do. There's things I try to avoid, but I end up doing it. And then in the middle of that, he says, "But I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." And then immediately he goes on to say, "But oh, wretched man that I am." See, in the midst of this battle, Paul says he delights in the law of God. And that is a key passage for understanding what Paul is saying here, because only a believer delights in the law of God. Psalm 1 tells us that the blessed man delights in the law of God, but the wicked man does not. So if this passage is talking about Paul pre-conversion, verse 22 makes no sense. Verse 22 is the key for understanding. He says, I delight in the law of God. Paul is revealing that he is converted. But moreover, he also says he delights in the law of God in the inward man. Now, this isn't some superficial statement where Paul is saying, well, I really do try my best. Deep down, I try really hard. No, what the language here is this heart language. It's the language of regeneration. It's the language of being born again. See, Paul here is referencing Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27, which says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, in my law. And you'll keep my judgments and do them. See, when Paul says, I delight in the law of God and the inward man, he is echoing Ezekiel 26 and he's saying, the Holy Spirit has been at work in me. And now because I've been born again, because I've been given spiritual life, because I've been granted repentance and faith, because I've been made righteous by Jesus, I delight in the law of God and the inward man, oh wretched man that I am. See, Paul is saying, I'm born again, I'm saved, I know Christ, I am converted, yet still there is this war. There is this battle between the righteousness of Christ that he has imputed to us, and our sinful nature. And all that is just the introduction to this passage. Don't worry, we're not going to be preaching to midnight as we read in Acts chapter 20 earlier. But all that lays the foundation that we have to understand as we approach this passage. As we go through the passage, as we look at the battle with sin, keep this in mind. Paul is speaking as a believer. He is speaking about the war that rages in him. But also keep in mind that the believer is righteous because of Jesus. And I want you to keep that in mind, because when you start to think about the battle with sin, it's very easy to feel condemnation come upon you. And you start to go, I guess I'm not saved. The righteous, those who have been rescued by Jesus, who have been forgiven by a wonderfully kind Savior, will not lose their righteousness. Will not lose their salvation, even though at times they battle with sin and lose that battle. So keep that in mind as we begin to look at the battle with sin in verse 13 to 20. Now as we read through this passage, we should be immediately struck by the fact that the Apostle Paul here cares deeply about the law of God. He cares deeply about God's commandments. He desires to obey God's law and live according to his standards. Now previously in Romans chapter 7, Paul has said that as believers, we are to keep the moral law, we are to keep the Ten Commandments, not out of fear, but rather we are to do so out of a heart of love and gratitude for what Christ has done. Now if we desire to keep the law of God out of our love for Jesus, then it should grieve us when we commit sins that cost the Savior his life. If we understand what Jesus did, if we truly love him, then it should grieve us that we sin against him and we do the very things that he suffered on the cross for. And Paul is grieved. He has a sense of grief. He knows that the law of God is good. In fact, in verse 13, he says, because of the law, he now knows what sin is. Now, that is a good thing to keep in mind, because if you want to know what sin is, if you want to grow in holiness, then you need to regularly look into the moral law of God. As Christians, we should know our Ten Commandments. We should look into God's law, because God's law reflects his holiness and character. It shows us much about our God. Martin Luther, the German reformer, advised people that when they pray, they should pray through the Ten Commandments. They should look at the commandments in their prayer time and consider if they've violated it in thought, word, or deed. You see, as you look at the law of God, which is good, according to the Apostle Paul, The law begins to shine into the innermost depths of our heart and reveals where the enemy is. It reveals where our sin is. And then the law points to the victory that can be obtained only through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the only victor over sin. So when you desire sin, when you see sin, make sure you look to Jesus as he provides the victory. So that's what Paul does. He opens the law. The law begins to reveal in him his sin. And as he looks into God's perfect standard, as he looks into the perfect law of liberty, as James calls it, Paul quickly realizes that he, as a believer, still has a war to fight. He knows there's a battle raging within him. As we read what the Apostle Paul says, we should find ourselves actually being in agreement with him. We should be able to say, oh, I understand what you're talking about, Paul. Because if you look at verse 15, Paul says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. And then in verse 19, he says, for the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Paul's saying, I want to do the right thing, but I end up doing the opposite. I want to honour God and keep his commandments, but then I end up doing the opposite. And we should read those words of Paul and say, Paul, we fully understand that. We get that. Because how many times in our own battle with sin have we stood up and said, Lord, I will never commit that sin again. But then a little while later we find ourselves saying, no, Lord, I don't want to commit that sin again. And then we find ourselves committing it. How many times have we said in our own Christian walk, I will not commit a certain sin. That sin is gone. I'm not dealing with it anymore. It's dead. But then we find we end up doing the opposite. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's battling with sin, and at times that battle is lost. And when we battle with sin and we fail in that battle, there should be a sense of anguish. And as you read Paul's words here in Romans 7, you see that he has anguish over his sin. He hates sin. He hates that he has given in to sin. He hates that he has sinned against God. But notice that Paul is not content to leave sin where it's at. He fights it. He grieves over it when he surrenders to it. Shouldn't that be how we respond to sin in our own lives? You know, we all sin. Christians are not perfect in this life. Eternally before God, again, we are perfect through the righteousness of Christ. But in this life, we are just forgiven sinners who are still battling with our evil desires. Now, no doubt, there are times in your life, since you have become a Christian, that you have given in to sin. I can say that with certainty because I stand before you as a sinner who has given in to sin many times. I know in my own life there have been times where I've said, Lord, I need victory over this sin. I fought that sin. And then what happens? I end up doing it. I stand before you as a sinner who battles with sin. And if the Apostle Paul was to walk into this chapel, he would stand up next to me and he would say, Hi, I'm Paul. I battle with sin too. All Christians will battle with sin. And if you're honest with yourself, you will have to admit that you have a fight with sin. And there's times that you've lost battles with sin. But let me just say this, the mere fact you battle with sin, the mere fact you war with sin, is actually a very good thing. I have met Christians who love the Lord Jesus Christ, but who struggle with a particular sin. They have sins that seem to easily beset them. They fight that sin for a time. They may appear to have victory over that sin, but then all of a sudden, sin counterattacks, And before they realise what is happening, they've engaged in that sin and they're feeding their flesh. Now when that happens, Christians feel convicted. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. But at that moment, something else often happens. When we sin, when we lose our battle as Christians, the Holy Spirit convicts us, and we know that we need to take that sin to the Lord. But what often happens at that point is that our enemy, Satan, comes along, and he begins to whisper in our ears, "You're not truly saved. Look at you. If you were truly a Christian, you would never have done that." And sadly, many Christians will listen to the lies of Satan. They believe him, and they become defeated in their walk with Christ. Don't believe the lies. The mere fact that when you battle with sin, and you fight with sin, that you have conviction of sin, and a longing to be free from sin, is actually a sign that you are truly converted. Remember what you were like before Jesus saved you. You had no concern over your sin. You might be worried someone could catch you doing something shameful, but ultimately you don't worry about what God thinks. But the believer, when they battle with sin, when they fight with sin, when they surrender in that battle, they have convicted and they know they've sinned against God and they're concerned about it. That's a sign of spiritual life. That's a sign you've been born again, because only a believer has concern about his or her walk with God. So when Satan comes along and says, "I can't believe you would do that, you are not a real Christian," we are to turn and point back to the cross and say, "I can believe I did that, because in me and my flesh there dwells no good thing, but let me point you to the one who made me righteous. I cannot make myself righteous, but he loved me and gave himself for me. He made me righteous. And neither height nor depth nor tribulation nor trials nor struggles will separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." You see, the believer battles with sin, and that's a good sign. The mere fact that you fight and that you feel bad because you've done it and you long to be free of it is actually a sign that you are saved. You see, the Apostle Paul, he battles, he fights, he wars with sin. He tells the churches in Philippi that he has yet to achieve perfection. He is laying aside what went before and he's pushing forward towards the goal. Paul is saying that we must battle, we must fight, and we must keep moving forward in the power of the Spirit, pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. In this life, you will battle with sin. You will lose battle with sin, but you will not lose the war overall, because Christ has defeated sin and all its dominion. Push forward with Jesus, knowing that you will not be totally free from sin until you're with him. But until then, fight. No surrender to sin. And I want you to think about the victory of sin. We see that in verse 21 to 25. The victory over sin, verse 21 to 25. You see, a soldier who refuses to fight is useless. They endanger themselves and others. And the same is true in our battle with sin. We are to fight and not give up the battle. And in verse 23, the Apostle Paul describes this ongoing struggle. He says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Paul says, here's this war, this fight, this battle that's going on within me. And then in verse 24 he says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Paul says, here's a war. I give in. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And that should be the cry of each and every one of us in our battle with sin. In our battle with sin, we should be saying along with the Apostle Paul, a wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But notice Paul's statement of anguish, a wretched man that I am, is immediately followed up by a question of where will the victory come from? How can I have victory over my sin? He's not prepared to sit back and say, woe is me, I'm never going to be over this sin, so I just give up. No, he says, I'm a wretched man. Who will deliver me? Who will rescue me? Where will victory come from? Who will deliver me from this body of death? That is the question. But what is the answer? Well, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here is the victory. Here is the freedom from sin that we need. Jesus Christ. Jesus has already paid for all our sins. Our past sins, our present sins, our future sins, are all nailed to the cross of Christ. As the hymn writer said, and as we sang earlier, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Paul looks at the battle. He sees that victory doesn't come through him. It doesn't come through the law. Rather, the victory comes through Jesus Christ. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Jesus will. Christ will. He gives the victory. And that's why Paul breaks forth into praise and says, I thank God. Oh, wretched man that I am, he sees his sin. He sees the battle. He sees the warfare. Who's going to deliver me? I know. I'll look away from that. I'll look away from self. I'll look away from the sin. I will look to God. To Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, when we battle with sin, when you and I fight sin, when there is sin in our life that easily besets us, we have to realize that we can only overcome that sin by Jesus Christ. It's not 12-step methodology of secular psychology that will get you through. It's not eat better, walk better, go for a run, and that will get you over your sin. No, Jesus Christ is the only one that will get you free from sin. You cannot clean yourself up. You cannot make yourself sinless. You cannot defeat sin. Sin is too great for you, but it is not too great for Jesus. He gives the victory. He has set us free from the dominion of sin. He has brought us into his kingdom. So we now no longer have to commit sin. We can be rescued from sin and given victory over sin because Jesus went to the cross, took our sin, nailed it to the cross and said, here is my righteousness. Only Jesus. You see, when we give in to sin in the battle, when we have our fight with sin and we surrender to it, you know, the only reason we have lost that battle is because at that moment of surrender, we are actually saying this. I don't want Jesus. I want my sin. When that temptation to sin arises, and you feel being drawn to sin, and you give in to sin, the only reason you give in to it is because you're saying, I want to serve myself now, I want my own pleasures. I don't want Jesus. You see, when temptation to sin comes, and it will, when you feel that you're being drawn towards sin, and that drawing will come, you need to realize that you're being drawn towards a trap. When this occurs, you must turn away from the trap of sin and instead turn your eyes to Jesus. You should turn and say, Lord, deliver me from evil. Pray the petition of the Lord's Prayer. Lord, deliver me from evil. The trap is set. You're being drawn towards it. Lord, rescue me from evil. If we call to him, if we seek him, if we run to our commander who has killed sin, then we will be delivered from the sin that so easily entices us. There is victory over the temptation to sin. You don't have to give in to the battle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. He will provide a way of escape when temptation to sin arises. Paul knew what that escape was. The escape for the Apostle Paul is Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I have an escape from sin as well. Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only escape. There is victory in Jesus, but we must look to him. When we sin, we do so because we are choosing to sin. When we have victory over sin, we do so because we are choosing to run to Jesus, saying, Lord, I'm going to love you more than I love my sin. I preach to myself as well. And I exhort you, encourage you, and call on you as I call on myself, love Jesus. Flee to him. Next time temptation comes, make war with sin, but don't make war in and of your own strength. Make war with sin through the power of the Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, you've seen the enemy. Here it comes. Jesus, deliver me. Give me victory over sin. Now again, as we finish, let me just remind you once again, I cannot stress this point enough. When you battle with sin, if you do give in, your eternal position before God does not change. I want you to keep that in mind, because I don't want you to come under the condemnation and the snare of the devil, where he happily keeps you in bondage saying, oh, you are damned. No, your status does not change before God, because Jesus has loved you and given himself for you. He has made you perfectly righteous on the cross. He took all your sin, past, present and future. He rose again for your justification. He granted you repentance and faith. And as a result, you are now declared perfectly righteous. Nothing will change that. You're safe for all eternity. And that means when you battle with sin, when you war with sin, and if you lose that sin, your position before God does not change. He still loves you. And he's not abandoned you. Don't think you can out-sin the Saviour. He holds you in his hands and he will not let you go. But Christian, when you do sin, confess it to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. Our Father is loving and kind. He won't cast you out. Next time you feel the temptation to sin, next time you feel the desire to sin start to arise in your life, turn your eyes to Jesus. How do you do that? Start praying to him immediately. Prayer is often overlooked in the battle with sin. When temptation arises, talk to Christ. Lord, the enemy's been sighted. I have contact with the enemy. Deliver me from evil. Start praying. Seek him. Pursue him. Pursue him through prayer. Start to remind yourself of the Word of God. This is why we should have Bible memorization as a very important role in the life of the believer. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Hide the Word of God in your heart so when sin comes, start reminding yourself of Scripture. It doesn't have to be a Scripture on that particular sin. Just start quoting the Word of God to yourself. Take the sword of the Spirit in hand. And Christ will use that to slay the enemy before you. Quote the Scripture to yourself. If you haven't got the Word of God hidden in your heart, open your Bible and start reading. Start reading it out loud even, so that your eye gate and your ear gate is hearing the Word of God. Another thing you can do is sing praise to Him for victory. Worship Him. The psalmist talks about God inhabiting our praises. Praise Him. Start belting out a psalm or a hymn or a Christian song. Start singing to yourself. Start singing out loud, declaring the wonder of Christ. Remind yourself, my sin, oh, the bliss of that glorious Lord. It's now to the cross and I bear it no more. Remind yourself of that through singing to the Lord. Read through the book of Psalms. You see that often happens. Evil comes in, the psalmist breaks forth into song. Sing to the Lord for the victory over sin. You see, you don't have to give in to the battle. It's not going to be easy. The war is going to be hard. But that sin that you keep giving into, you can have victory over it by the power of Jesus Christ our Lord. So pursue Him. Don't surrender. Give no quarter to sin. A wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank You for the wonderful truth of the gospel, that we are made perfectly righteous, not through the deeds that we have done, but solely through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our place and rose again for our justification, and that now in Him we are counted as perfectly righteous and spotless before the throne. Lord, may You remind us of that. May You constantly keep that in our mind, so that when the temptation to sin comes and the condemnation of the devil heaps up against us, we can say, "No, Christ has saved me. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine." Oh Lord, may we have victory over sin through the remembrance of the gospel. May we have victory over sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be a holy people, a people who long to fight sin, a people who will not surrender, a people who will choose Jesus over the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh Lord, please grow us in holiness so that we might become more like our Saviour. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.